Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Are you hot? I was going to turn on some air.
Hey, Ken, if you want to. Yeah, I'm not hot, but it's okay. If you need air conditioning, we'll turn it on. We got one that works. Praise the Lord. I'm okay. I learned how to control my body a long time ago. It is wonderful to be able to control your body. It's wonderful to be able to go into a boiler room somewhere when you're working as a regional engineer, and you go into a boiler room where it's 140 degrees and you don't even break a sweat, and then you go over to a place where it's 10 below zero and you don't have no problem just going there with a short sleeve shirt on just like you had before. The guys always used to ask me, how in the world can you do this? I said, I speak to my body.
Amen.
They think you're crazy. They really think you're crazy. But I do speak to my body, and it does obey me.
It does.
Cheryl's going to tell you something. She's going to speak to you now.
I'm going to speak to your body.
Amen.
Everybody cool down. Okay. I needed that.
My body's comfortable.
Well, that's good.
Now, let me tell you all something. Now, I usually say good things about my wife.
Oh, no.
This week, I really noticed why she's always tired. I bet you 20 times this week, after she'd had hours of sleep, when she'd get up, she'd say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And I thought to myself, I'm going to start counting. I'm going to start counting to see how many times she says that.
So how many times did I say it?
And I'm still counting.
Well, I'm not tired anymore.
Okay. Now, seriously now, while we're having a lot of fun here, and we do have fun with Jesus, did Jesus really say whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you can have it? Is that what he said?
Yes.
So what would that mean? What would that mean? I mean, Kim.
I curse myself.
You see what I mean? And we don't even realize we're doing it. Cheryl does not realize that she's working and she's doing things, and she just got up from 8 or 10 hours of good, sound sleep, and she comes in and she said, "Honey, I'm so tired."
Well, I'm gonna stand in my defense.
Oh, I know.
This past,
you work all the time. I know that.
No, that's
problem.
Not it. This past week, I grumbled and complained, and when I grumbled and complained about something, I got a problem. I got two fever blisters on my bottom lip, and I've never had a fever blister. I got a fever blister in my side of my nose and outside of my nose, and I had a sinus infection. But I didn't tell him that's what was wrong with me. I just, asked him to pray. He prayed. So, yes, I have been tired this week and not feeling well, and I haven't spoken that I have felt bad. But I'm almost through it. I'm almost through to the
Amen.
Other side now. And I told the Lord I wasn't going to grumble and complain anymore, and I was so sorry.
Amen. So anyway, we're not going to grumble and complain this week.
Oh,
we're
no.
going to speak to our body. I am not tired.
I'm strong.
I'm well.
I'm healthy.
Strong,
I'm well.
I'm happy. I'm healed. I remember all the benefit package that Jesus gave me and all that stuff, so I am not going to be sick. And Cheryl was just telling me the other day that Kim had a dream, and she saw us in his dream 33 years old.
Praise God.
So, wow, praise the Lord.
I don't have to color my hair anymore.
Amen.
Praise
so, praise
God.
The Lord. So, it's wonderful to be 33.
Amen.
I love being 33.
I agree. I'm not tired.
Amen. There you go.
That's right. My youth is renewed.
Amen.
And my youth is renewed. Normally, I think I have a lot of stamina and energy.
Oh, yeah,
but
I
grumble. It was my mouth.
Yeah.
I can't help
but
it.
But then that's always our problem.
Yes.
I don't care. Cheryl can sit here and say that whatever you want to, but every one of you, including me, our problem is right there, 1 inch below our tongue. Is that right?
Yes.
So we either make ourselves sick or we get well, whatever, but you're right. So anyway, go ahead, honey.
Okay. Well, I made myself sick and I made myself well, too.
Amen.
With your help. Thank you very much. Praise God.
Praise
okay,
the Lord.
Everybody should have gotten a little yellow flyer about the potluck dinner. This coming Sunday, December 4th, starts our Christmas season, which, of course, we've been in Christmas season for 2 months. But it's our 9th anniversary of this building. If y'all had been here to see this building built, you would have just been amazed. Thurman and Eldon were, they welded all these trusses, and then they got up there and would hang on one leg and be welding them all on there. And Dave stood on one side of the building. I don't know how he did it. He was on top of a ladder on his tippy toes, on the top of the ladder, holding that on to the frame so they could weld it. I was like, wow. It was amazing to watch this place built. If you'd seen it. And even just like when he sprayed the inside of this with the acoustic, he said, here, help me. And I said, help you do what? He said, I want you to hold this piece of cardboard as he blows the acoustic around the opening of the door. Hold this here so that the acoustic, you know, won't go out into the hallway. You know, it didn't have carpet on it. So I, like a, what would you call it, the lamb going in to be sheared. I'm holding this piece of cardboard, and he starts blowing the acoustic. Well, you know where the acoustic went. And I'm like, no, I don't think this is a job for me. You need to get one of your boys in here. But he blew, if you'd seen it, he blew. I watched him. I sat in here with the dog, and we watched him, and he blew the entire thing. And he was up on all the way to the top, you guys. He was on a ladder, and he would be hanging there, and he had, in one hand, he had the bucket of mud stuff, whatever, the acoustic. He had that, and then the other one was the sprayer, you know, and he's hanging on one leg, spraying and holding, and I'm praying. I'm saying, okay, angels, hold him up there. And he did this whole thing in how many hours? Six?
About six, yeah.
Six hours. I sat in here and watched him do it.
Whole thing.
So this, and the reason, of course, why we haven't finished the end of it is because we keep thinking we're going to expand that way. And we probably
praise
will.
Praise the Lord.
Yep, dang it. So
that's when I was 33.
Yes. You're still 33.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to be 33 again.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Strong and young and healthy.
Next Sunday, bring your favorite dish, whatever you'd like to bring, and bring family, friends, and we're going to have a good time and just bringing the food in. And we've got people that are going to help you with all that. Okay, so about Christmas, I want to tell you we're at $84,252.
Amen.
Excuse me. And we've blessed 8,830 children and 189 families. And then I want to read a letter I got this week. I told you last week that there were two new children for Christ Haven, 13-year-old Austin, who I believe has come back into the system. He was in the system from 5 to 12, and then he went out, but he's back in now. And then a new little girl named Charlie that's 5. And before I read this story to you, we had two seniors go to Christie's, my daughter's, bridal store for the prom dresses, and they didn't find anything they liked. I think it was too upscale for them. You know, I think they wanted something different. Young, youthful, you know what I'm saying? It was too adult for them. I really believe that's what it was. But anyway, that's okay. We'll find what they want. But Christie wanted to take the pictures to send me the pictures. And when she went to take pictures of the littlest one, who's a size 0, she's 17 and a size 0, that means she's very small, the little girl covered her face. And she went, oh, I'm not giving this picture to anyone. I'm not posting this picture. This is only for my mother to see you in these particular dresses. She tried on these 3 dresses. And so she allowed her to take her picture. But you have to know that because we've been involved with people like this, if a child doesn't want their picture taken, someone's been doing stuff to them, and that they are afraid. They have great fear about having what they're going to do to them. It really hurt my heart and it bothered Christy a lot too, but you know, that's why they are where they are, and this letter will tell you. Dear Cheryl, over the past 62 years, Christ Haven has been striving to provide a sanctuary for displaced kids. Sanctuary is defined as a place of refuge or safety. Perhaps the most paramount aspect of healing is the acknowledgement of past trauma. There is no denying that the impact of trauma is far-reaching. Increased risk of severe health problems, relational challenges, social and emotional difficulties, and career complications are all results of unaddressed trauma. Rest assured, there is good news. Research has shown that providing a safe, loving, Christian home is an incredible way to intervene in a child's life and stunt or even reverse the effects of trauma. Children who are able to experience an intervention, like joining our family here at Christ Haven, are far less likely to experience many of the outcomes mentioned above. In fact, children raised in an intact family are more likely to feel safe, have healthy relationships with peers, engage in extracurricular activities, and perform well academically. In addition, being a part of a family oftentimes means a child is less likely to struggle with substance abuse or engage in unhealthy relationships. One of the most special aspects of family life at Christ Haven is a chance to witness the growth and change in our young adults as they graduate and pursue their passions. Dr. Vivian Dorsett, a former Christ Haven kid and the current president of the Alumni Association, has dedicated her career to advocating for foster children across the country. She recently shared this advice with our kids. Don't take for granted how special Christ Haven is. This place will change your life if you let it. As I write this message to you, our children's service staff is meeting with a family to welcome two new children to our community. Your support is allowing these precious siblings to experience stability instead of the insecurity they are accustomed to due to substance abuse in their family of origin. So they ask for some help. And then just know that you're simply not giving a monetary donation. You're providing the opportunity for kids to be a part of the transformational love of a family. You are giving the gift of safety and stability. You are allowing a child the chance to hear about Jesus. And it's for the children, right, Robarts, executive director. So I just want to say that every one of these kids have horrible stories. I've told you that. I know some of them, a lot of them I don't know. I just know each of them have horrible stories. So everything that we do for them, like Kim gave me a pillow that said, we are blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we're supposed to be, is a blessing to everyone. And can you put up Proverbs 19:17? And so I just feel, you know, God put all this on my heart. He made me do all of this. This is our 15th year. We've raised, like, a lot of money. We're going to raise even more. We're picking up next Sunday. It's not next Sunday. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he, the Lord, pay him again. So whatever you give to the orphans, the widows, the children, the elderly, because in this group that we're giving to, like I just have ordered for Salvation Army, there's like a lot of elderly that are going to get the little fleece pants, you know, because they just want to be warm, you know. That's pretty much it. And that's really sad. So we're affecting, there's 8 nursing homes out of Denton Salvation Army. So whatever they have extra, they give to them. So I give them a whole, Scott was yesterday, we got a whole bunch of boxes from Five Below, and it took us a long time to go through it. And there was so many boxes of fleece pants, and he said, what do you need all these pants for? And I said, well, it's not just the kids, it's the elderly, because we're trying to help them too. You know, we're reaching a lot of people. And so just know that whatever you give, if you choose to give, we appreciate it. Just put on your offering note, your donation envelope or your check, just put children or Christmas so I know where it goes. We have several things. Dee, raise your hand, Dee. She brought 4 chocolate pies. If you'd like to buy a pie for whatever you want to give her, how many would you bring today? You brought 3 grandma's homemade with farm eggs, banana pudding, and it's really good. And the chocolate pie is really good because I've had some of all of it. So. Okay, and if you want anything, if you want to order anything from either Grace, right here, Grace, or from Dee, let them know. Dee's making tea towels for a bunch of people. She's embroidering tea towels. So anything you want made, cakes, pie. Fudge? There's fudge in there too? Oh, yummy. I may have to get some of that. Okay, then I have the Solomon girls. Did y'all bring something today? Hair clips? Okay. The Solomon girls, y'all want to stand up. This is Rebecca, Nina, and Myra, and Mira. And they have a card that says, I'm a princess, every girl must sparkle. And they have these beautiful hair clips. So they're like $1, $2, something like that, or whatever you want to give them. You know, like I bought 4 and gave them 20. You know, it's like if you want to give more, because they give everything. The first week they gave 145 and they gave 103, I think it was last week. So they're giving everything from their little business venture to the children, which I think is just a blessing. So. Anyway, so if you can give, please give. And also know, okay, so next Sunday is the potluck and the 9th anniversary of the church. And then the following Saturday is a healing school that Sunday is when we go down and we have to go pick up prayerfully 1,500 toys at the Sheraton in downtown Dallas. And then that following Monday is when we have our party, December the 12th on Monday. We have it over at Paradise Cove, and we have it. The address is on the top of the sheet, and we'd love for all of you to come to see and experience what it's like to see all these kids. And also, I want to give a special shout-out to Martin and Chris Demaris, is that close? It's real close. Right back there. He's a master jeweler, and he went around and passed out those little flyers to people at the World Trade Center, and they gave over $22,000 worth of gifts.
Wow.
Yes, and we don't have a picture of it. I have it on my phone of this little boy that they sent a red tree to, and he is just so ecstatic, and it was such a blessing for that family because they hadn't had a tree in 7 years, and they live in the Justin. So you don't know who you're touching. They live in the Justin government housing, and because of us, because Kathy, our office manager, came to us because she had a heart for this girl because she's unmarried, has two kids, two boys, 3 years and 18 months. But she is walking to the Rock Church where Kathy, she does a Bible study on Tuesday night, and they have church. So she is making an effort now to change her life. So Kathy came to me and said, well, we had two kids leave, so I sent some things to them that we didn't return. And I said, here, we'll just take them this. And then when we found out more, and then when we got the tree, we sent the tree, and then I went out and I bought gifts for those two kids. But what's interesting, this little boy has on a shirt, and he has on a shirt from all the cold stuff I buy that goes to the Justin Community Closet. He's wearing one of our shirts. So all that whole government housing area, Kathy says, when I come over here, she said, I see that they're all wearing the Kohl's clothes because she knows what I buy. It's like, praise the Lord, because we're affecting our community and we're affecting the hearts of these people that they're now, she's reaching out to Jesus, and Jesus is going to bring her on in. So praise God. Thank you for all your help.
Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And while we're on the story about talking about the children, I've got to tell you one little praise report before we go to another praise report. But here a few years ago, I went in and we unloaded everything and over at the restaurant where we were having the party for the kids. And I was sitting there after we had done this, and these kids began to pile in and sitting down. There's a little boy about this big, right across, sat down right straight across from me. Very unhappy little guy. Never had a Christmas present in his life. Now, most of y'all can't even go there, you know, because we've all been blessed with something. But this little boy had never had a Christmas present. So he didn't know what was fixing to happen. He sat down over here right in front of me, and there's a little girl just about his size sitting right beside him, and she's ecstatic. I mean, she's just bouncing off the walls. And this little girl is, oh, goodness gracious, she's just bouncing off the walls. And I said, son, why are you so down? Why are you so unhappy? He says, well, I don't have anything to be happy for. The little girl right beside him, I said, and why are you so happy and he's so unhappy? She said, sir, this is his first Christmas here. This is my third one. I know what's fixing to happen. And so, that would almost bring tears to your eyes. So anyway, I'm sitting there watching this. I can't do it. That's just the way God is.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, they started handing out the presents. And after probably 20 or 30 or 40 gifts had been handed out, they called his name. And I'd ask him what his name was, and when they called his name, I said, well, son, isn't that your name? Yes, sir. What does that mean? I said, that means you got a present. A present. I've got a present. I said, go get it. So he runs up there and he gets it. And he comes back and lays it on the table. He don't know what to do with it. I told him, I said, open it. So he starts tearing the paper off. He gets about half of it tore off, and he hears his name again. He said, "Sir, they call my name again." I said, "Yeah, you got another president." So he ran up there and got that one, and he come back, and now he's got two he's unwrapping. And he's unwrapping those two. All of a sudden, they called his name again. Now, he's on the edge of the table. He's waiting for his name to be called, and I really literally believe he got at least 10 or 15 presents. He had never had a present in his life. I'm sitting there thinking, "Lord, I know why you said it's better to receive, give than to receive." I said, "Lord, I've never had a day like that in my life. Never. I mean, most of y'all in this room, you were raised up in a family probably, and you had Christmas gifts from the time you were little bitty thing on up. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot, but at least we had Christmas. You know, we were what I call a very poor family. We didn't have a whole lot of anything, but we had love, and we had a good mom and dad, the same one at home all the time, and we went to church and we knew the Lord, and it was really, really, my life has been out of this world. You know, I have, not only have I had a life that's out of this world, I've had a life with God that's out of this world. Now I want this young lady to come up here and tell us her testimony. I want her to tell us what happened to her. She got a Christmas present too. Tell us your name, where you're from, and everything, how it all happened.
My name is Rhonda Crawford, and I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. And basically, a friend of mine had got this CD from a friend of his that worked at the post office with him. And they were going to some churches in Carrington, and he said, "Rhonda, you got to hear this CD." I'm like, "Okay." Gave me the CD. I started listening. I'm like, "Wow, you know, this kind of faith he's talking about, I like it because I pray, but, you know, I've seen God do a few things, but this is really exciting." He said, "You can be healed of everything, any and everything, if you repent." I said, "Wow, okay." And so I was listening to it day and night, and so because I know the Word of God says faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, because I was having these hot flashes. I drive a little box truck, and I deliver mail during the daytime, and my goodness, I'm on the dock running and picking up boxes. I'm sweating. I'm like, "Oh, my goodness, I can't live like this." At night, I'm taking the covers on and off. I'm like, "Whew, this man I'm listening to on this CD is great." He said, "You know what?" About 2 weeks later, he said, "This man, Thurman Shrivener, he's coming to town." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, he's coming. It's not, you know, where we live at, but it's another part of Missouri." I said, "I'm going." So I listened to that tape day and night for 30 days. I said, "When I know I'm going to get my healing, listen to what he's teaching about faith." And so, when, long story short, when I got there, I met Cheryl and Thurman. He said, "You know, some people come, they stay one day, and they expect God to do things for them. They need to get the word in." I stayed every night. I think it was 3 nights I came, and I listened to his teaching. And I said, "Well, I'm going up for prayer." We was there kind of late that night, but I stayed, and Cheryl and some and Thurman and some other people were praying for folks. But, you know, I was up here with Cheryl and Thurman Shrivener, and they prayed. He asked me a question. He said, "Are you married?" I said, "No, but the Lord gave me a dream and promised me a husband. I was going to help in the ministry. I haven't got him yet, so pray about that."
Amen.
So I said, "No," he said, "because I know in his teaching, he said, your husband is supposed to pray for you." So I said, "No." And then he asked me a few other questions, and he said, I said, "Well, I got these hot sweats. I just want y'all to pray for me for get rid of these hot flashes, because what I just told you, Lord, promised me a husband. I can't nobody stay with me like this with these hot sweats. I can't even live with myself. How am I going to live with a husband?" So long story short, Cheryl said, "Honey, this sounds like a woman of faith. She wants you to kind of pray for her." I said, "Okay." And I stood there and I raised my hands and I prayed. And what I like about it is don't nothing have to boom and hit you or nothing like that. You receiving the word of God, and by faith, you're walking away from here and you know you're healed because of the words that's spoken out of his
Amen.
Mouth and you received them.
Amen.
So I wasn't worried about being falling out or nothing. That would have been fine, but I didn't. And I stepped away from there, and I'm telling you, I have had not no hot sweat. 2013, I think it was. And the thing about it is they said, I think it's either 2012 or 13. I believe it was 2013. And the thing about it is he said, you know, if the enemy tries to come, repent, ask God what you need to repent for. And he's tried a few times, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me if anything I said, because I know this tongue is an unruly member. I've been trying to keep it under control and do what your word says, but forgive me for all my sins. And I said, now, devil, you have no legal right. I command you.
Amen.
To take your hands off my body. It's the temple of the living God. No unclean thing shall abide here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So you've been...
I do that on anything that tries to attack my body at night or anything. Enemy try to come and I'm laying there or whatever, try to put something on my body. I start repenting in my sleep because the Holy Ghost don't go to sleep.
Amen.
Holy Ghost tell me to kick that devil out. I repent and I don't
Amen.
Accept nothing.
Amen.
I love it.
Jesus. Wow, I don't need this no more, I guess. The most wonderful thing in the world is knowing Jesus.
Yes.
And all of you in this church here, y'all know that. But I want us to start with a little bit of scripture today, that since me and Cheryl was talking about the tongue and the power of the tongue a while ago, some people, seriously, you know, I began to notice, the Holy Spirit just quickened me last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. It's just like he said, pay attention to your bride. See how many times she says she's tired, she's wore out, she can't do something. So I started listening, and I was amazed at how many times she said that. I'm so tired. I mean, she just got up from 8 or 10 hours of sleep. I'm so tired. I got to go take a nap. I got to where I told her and Sharon. Sharon comes in and has a bite to eat down here in the kitchen. Then she said, well, I'm going to go up and practice taking a nap so I get ready to go to bed tonight. These girls, all they want to do is sleep. I don't know what I'm going to do with these girls. I do know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to love them just like the Lord told me to. Because if I love you girls and guys, you know, if I love you, it's amazing what happens when you love. Because the faith don't work except through love, does it, young lady?
Love,
you got to love. And so but anyway, I want us to talk about that just a little bit today. I've got several things I want us to really look at that is real in God's Word. But if we don't hear them pretty often, we have a tendency to get away from them. And it's so easy to get away from these things. So that Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, and 26, I want us to literally look at these scriptures, and then I want us to meditate on these scriptures, Mark 11, 23, and 24. I want you to see what Mark 11, 23 says. Mark 11, 23. For verily or truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now think about that. He said, you can speak to a mountain. Well, you know, that is so foreign to anything you and me dream about. We read that, and we don't believe it. We read something that says, and whosoever shall say to this mountain, then you look at that and you think, well, you know, no, I don't know what he's talking about there, but he couldn't literally be talking about a mountain. You know, nobody can move a mountain. Well, guess what? What if you had to put healing? You know what the average church member, just like me, you'd look at and said, whoever should say to your healing of your body, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, you know that just, you know, the old Bible is just a bunch of words that somebody talked about. You know, it's just written by a bunch of men that had no idea what they were talking about. It really doesn't mean what it says. Have you ever heard statements like that? I hear them all the time. But does this book literally mean what it says?
Absolutely.
It absolutely means what it says. So when he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith with his mouth shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. So if you're going around saying, and I'm going to use my bride, you go around saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Guess what you're going to be?
Tired.
Her body is going to tell itself. I listened to this, what's that girl's name that was on the Kenneth Copeland show? Caroline
Leaf.
Dr. Leaf. She spent 2 weeks with Kenneth Copeland on the show. And this is a lovely scientific, you know, doctor. Wow. I mean, she's got the brain down pat. I enjoyed that so much. But she says, too, that whatever you say is what your body's going to do. Now then, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is absolutely the truth. When I was an engineer working for a corporation all over the world, I learned these principles, and I believe these principles meant what they said. So whenever I would go into a boiler room, I mean, some of my mechanics and engineers that would be working on a piece of equipment, they might have a problem, and they'd come get me and say, Thurman, we need you down in the boiler room. We need your expertise. So I would go down there, and I'd have a short-sleeve shirt on, and I walk in there, it's 140 degrees in the boiler room. I walk in there, and I'm in there for 15, 20 minutes. And we find the problem, and I walk out. One day, one of them, as we walked out, they both got a T-shirt on. That's all they got on the top, T-shirt, and both of them just dripping wet. He said, there's not a drop of sweat on you. How do you do that? Now, they're looking at me. There is no sweat on my body. And I tell them, I said, I speak to my body. I command my body to handle the situation that I'm under at the time. They said, you know that won't work. I said, oh, yes, it will. I said, you know, I read a story about a man that was out on the railroad track and they had a train and had freezer cars. And they had these recording instruments that told what the temperature was inside that box all the time. So this man was going to, needed a place to sleep, and so he was out there, and he crawled up inside of one of these freezer cars, and while he was up in there asleep, somebody come along and shut the door. Now then, instantly that's panic. I'm in a freezer car, locked up, can't get out, they can only be open from the outside, I cannot get out. I'm freezing to death. And he found a piece of paper and some stuff in there, and he wrote, I am literally freezing to death. Somebody needs to save me. I'm freezing to death. He was in that thing all night long. The next morning, somebody came by and opened the door, and there he lay, dead. All symptoms, he had froze to death. They checked the temperatures on the recording instruments, and the temperature had never gotten below 60 degrees. He killed himself with his tongue. He told his body, I'm freezing to death. And so his body responded to his spoken words and killed him. Just think, that scripture that we got up here, I want you to really look at this one more time. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, is that a pretty awesome statement? Now then, I read that years and years and years ago as a Southern Baptist and as a Sunday school teacher and everything, and when I began to read that, I thought, you know, that literally says I can speak to a mountain. Did it not? But you know the reason that it don't work for us? What did he say? You must do what? You must believe in your heart, right? So what do? We say, I don't believe that'll work. You know, that's crazy. I mean, you know, nobody would write a book like that. In the Spirit, you've got to learn to live and be led by the Spirit of God. If you're living in the flesh, you can never make these things work. You have to step over into that other dimension, right, Mary? That dimension is called the spirit realm. You step into the spirit realm where your body, where you can control your body with your spoken words, because it's coming from the heart. You're believing it. I am a man. Stop and think. What kind of problems are we experiencing in school now? You look like a boy. But I'm a girl. No, you look like a boy, or vice versa. And they start telling these kids there's something else. And so they get all confused. You know, we didn't have this problem when I was a young boy. You know, I mean, everybody knew if there was a boy or knew if there was a girl. They didn't have to worry. Nobody had to tell you. You knew.
Yep.
But just think, we go around now telling our children that there is a different dimension, that you can be a boy or a girl or both. And you know, that's not true, is it? That's not true at all. We need somebody that can convince people the truth. And that's going to be the church. The day is coming when we're going to, just like when I prayed over this young lady, 2013 or whatever it was, I am sure that I prayed over her and told her, I guarantee you, if you believe, you're healed. I do that to everybody. Yeah. All you got to do, Jesus made us the promises. And if he made us the promises, how many hot flashes have you had since that day?
I haven't had none.
Not one. Wow. See, now let me tell you, let me bring that a whole lot closer to home. This girl sitting on the front row up here. And she wasn't even married to me. Her and her daughter come out here to make tapes for me one night because she'd come to a healing school and got healed of a 30-year incurable disease herself. So she knew the healing Jesus showed up at this place. So she got healed. So she came out here with her daughter and they were making tapes and stuff. And while I was doing that, she had this bottle of, hormone pills or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And I saw it and she was out, had run out and said, I got to get this refilled. And I said, Cheryl, I said, what are you taking those things for? She said, well, I had a hysterectomy several years ago, and to make everything work like it's supposed to, I have to have these pills. Now, see, the doctor had told her she had to have these pills. And she believed she had to have those pills. And as long as she took those pills worked because she had faith in those pills. And if you had asked her, do you believe those pills work? She wouldn't have been buying those things for 20 years. That's what I mean. That's what I say. If you had not believed they would work, you would have not been buying them for 20 years. Yeah, but she had, because see, a doctor told her, and the doctor was, he was telling her the truth of everything he knew. Most doctors don't understand the spirit world.
Amen.
They just don't understand it. And most people don't understand it. So I told Cheryl that night, I said, Cheryl, you don't have to go get that refilled. I said, you're a daughter of the King. Jesus, I mean, that ought to put a tingle in you when you say, I'm a daughter of the King. And I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, and they're all in me. So anyway, I told her all that stuff, and she had gotten, now then, why would she believe an old crazy guy like me? Because she had come to a healing school, and an incurable disease she'd had for 30 years, when she repented of the sin that brought it on. I prayed for her and God healed her. So now that carries some weight right there. So now then she got healed at a healing school, so if it worked at a healing school, why would it work here? And it does. God's everywhere, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So she repented and she said, okay, I'm not going to take any more of these. I just want you to pray over me. And it's a done deal. I said, now, Cheryl, you have to believe with no doubt in your heart. Is that what the scripture says?
Yes.
How much doubt can I have?
None.
Not even a little bit?
None.
That's not fair.
I know.
You know? But me and you didn't write the book, did we? When God says something in this book, he doesn't mean it for one person one way and another person another way. He never changes, does he? He's the same with all of us, isn't he, Miss Jackie? For all of us. So anyway, I told her, I said, you don't have to have that stuff. I said, don't go buy some more of those pills. I said, we'll just break that curse over. I said, Jesus Christ redeemed you from the curse 2,000 years ago, and it's already done.
Amen.
I said, he's already paid for that healing. So we prayed and thanked the Lord for her healing, and that's been, 20 years ago, almost 15, 18 years ago, something like that.
It's been 15.
and you've never had to have no more of them pills. And she's just like you. She never has no more of those hot flashes. Her body is consistently the same temperature all the time. Isn't it wonderful?
It's lovely.
Do you like being healed, girl?
I love being healed. I know
Amen. So you're praying for people too, right?
Well, I've been trying. I'm like, Lord, okay. You have to build
faith. Whatever you do, don't give up. I was watching Daystar this last week, and there was a man on there. It said he got a hold of the scriptures that said we could lay hands on the sick and they'd get healed. And he said that he was telling Joni, he said, I started, every time my wife and I go to the grocery store with our daughter, I would lay hands on somebody for healing. And she said, my wife got where she wouldn't even go to the grocery store with me. Because all I wanted to do was lay hands on people and pray for them. Joni said, how many did you get healed? He said, the first 900, not any. 900 people he laid hands on with no results, but he didn't give up. Do you think that when God says persist at something, he means persist? 900 people that boy prayed over, nobody got healed. And then all of a sudden 901, and they started getting healed. Now then he needed some information. I'm jumping up and down the TV the other night saying, Joni, I need to come down and talk to y'all. He said, now there is something I don't understand. Everybody don't get healed that I pray for. Some do, some don't. But I don't understand why. I'm out here in front of the TV screaming, sir, it's sin. It's sin. Is that right, Mike? It's sin. When you find them that you can't get the sin taken care of, or you can't get them to confess, or you can't pray, there's things you can't get healed, right? But whenever you finally figure it out what it is, it's sin, get rid of that sin, just like you said. I mean, anytime this thing tries to come back, you know you did something.
Yeah,
amen. It's easy to repent, isn't it? Because you love being well, and I love being well, and you love not being sick. So if we would only believe and then pray in faith, one more time. You know, let's meditate on this again. Look at this. For truly I say unto you. Now this is Jesus talking. Oh, that's right. He's only the king of the universe, so he don't count, does he? Yeah, I believe he counts. Don't you? I mean, you can't get a higher authority than what's speaking right here on this page. There's not a higher authority nowhere than for truly I say unto you that whosoever. Now he didn't put Thurman's name there. He didn't put Franz's name there. He didn't put Mike's name there. He put whosoever. That means that's good for every one of us. Is that right? Yeah, that's the way you got to read this book. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now that mountain can be anything. Now, I told Tim and Preston, my grandson, they went down to our farm down at Goldthwaite a couple of days ago. I told him, I said, now son, before y'all go, I'm going to agree with you in prayer. He said, well, Preston's never killed a deer. I said, okay. But he said he's going to get one right off the bat because you and me are going to pray right here, and I'm going to do it with you, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to send, like Matthew, what scripture did I use? I think I used Matthew 18:19. Miss Kim, what does Matthew 18:19 say? Okay, if two of us agree about anything, it shall be done now. So I told my son, I said, son, Matthew 18:19 says if two of us agree about anything, he'll do it for us. Is that what he says? So I said, I'm going to agree with you in prayer, that you and Preston will go down there, and the first morning, or the first or evening, whatever y'all get there, within an hour after y'all get there, he will have killed his first deer. I said, so that's a prayer that I'm going to pray. I said, now when you and him get down there, or before you get down there, I want you and him to pray, because I want him to see the prayer power of prayer also. But I said, I've already prayed with you, and when I prayed, I said, son, do you agree with me? He said, I do, Dad. Okay, I said, okay, it's a done deal. I guarantee. Now, when I say whatever I say, if I believe with my heart, it's going to happen. Right, Franz?
That's right.
So I said, you will get that first deer. Preston will get his first deer within an hour after y'all get down there the first day. Now, I said, if you get there in the evening, before dark, you will get your first deer. If you get there wee hours of the morning or go to bed late at night and get up early in the morning, but then an hour after daylight, you'll get that first deer. But I want you and me to be in agreement that that's what we just prayed for. Because did God say whatever we say with our mouth and we believe it with the heart, we can have it?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing that God put all these rules in there for us? And we live a defeated life because we don't know what these rules are. So anyway, I told him, I said, now son, I want Preston to see this work. So whatever you do, I want you and him to pray together too, as a dad and a son, just like you and me, a dad and a son, did. And, there's nothing like praying, but there's nothing like praying and seeing results. You know, now, I mean, lots of people pray. Well, okay, Dad, I'm going to pray with you. What, do you believe we're going to get a deer? Well, Dad, if a deer shows up, maybe pressing and hit him, we'll get him. That's not what that scripture said, right? You got to believe this book. I mean, is that what it says? And how much doubt can we have?
Zero.
You got to believe. So I told my son, I said, okay, guarantee you and Preston will get a deer the first day. I called him. Dad, we weren't out there an hour. Preston got his first buck. What did I expect? That's what I expected. Because I prayed. Now I'm going to find out when he gets back home. Did Dad and you pray together? And if he didn't, then I'm going to say, well, I'm going to talk to my son later. So I say, son, you needed to let him see that result in prayer, just like you did. Or maybe it was for my son. You know, when they went out to Colorado it wasn't Colorado. It was where they went to?
Grand Canyon.
Yeah, Grand Canyon. They went to the Grand Canyon, and when they got to the bottom of the canyon, Ben, one of the young men that worked for me, he was sick. I mean, it's a long ways down that canyon, 26-mile round trip, carrying a 40-pound backpack. I tell you what, if you ain't in good shape, don't go out there with Tim and his bunch on that. You're going to come back. Either that or you better learn how to talk. That's all I got to say. But, I mean, it will really get you. But anyway, I got tickled at Ben. He's a fine young man. He hangs out with me a lot, and we do things together, and I pray over everything. In fact, the other day, Ben came in my office. He said, Pastor, I need those hinges that goes on that gate that we put up down at the barn. I got a gate out here I need to put up, and I can't find the hinges for it. I said, well, Ben, I think we left them in that trailer right down there by the barn. He said, well, I thought we did too, but he said, I didn't look in the trailer. I said, well, go look. So he went down and looked in the trailer and come back and said, they're not there. I said, okay, let's pray. When you're looking for something, it's time to pray. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, you said, Matthew 18:19, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask you for, it's a done deal. So Father, in Jesus' name, I need you to show me where those hinges are so I can tell Ben so he can go get them so he can cut that gate up and get that thing going. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So I turned around to talk to him, and as I'm talking to him, I don't get a sentence out. And I see a vision just, I said, Ben. Now, Ben's standing right there on the other side of my table, my desk. I said, the Lord just showed me a vision. I said, we asked him where it was, and I said, he showed me out here at the barn. The two tractors are sticking out the end of the barn. There's a three-tier shelf right between them, aluminum shelf, and those hinges are laying right on that center shelf, right there. He said, well, it won't take me but just a few minutes to run out there and check. He ran out there and come back and said, Pastor, that's where they were, laying right on that shelf. Now then, does God mean what he says when he tells us to pray? When you pray in faith, he shows up, right? You know, now somebody says, you know, and some of you may be sitting here in this room right now today and say, I don't believe that story. Well, let me tell you what, it won't work for you. If you don't believe his word will work, it won't do you any good to pray. Is that right? You have got, how much doubt did you say you had to have, Kim?
Zero doubt.
Do you think he really meant that? I mean, he's training us to be overcomers, isn't he, Mike? And Gracie, you had no doubt when you prayed for Mike that day that he got his back healed, did you? Wow. But just look at this. I just stand in awe as I think about what he has promised us, and we live our life defeated because we won't use these promises that he put in here. Who did he say this thing was for? Whosoever. Are you a whosoever?
Yes.
Just think, this precious little lady that just got up and gave her testimony, how many years had you been like that, honey?
I started off taking pills like Cheryl did, black cohosh for about a year or two, and then Ajuvia, and then I said, no more, because Ajuvia, then the black cohosh stopped working because it's supposed to be natural. It stopped working, I said, I'm not taking no more medicine. And then I heard them say, and I'm like, this is it, Lord, thank you. So it's about, Three or four years,
and then we prayed for you, and God did it. Wow. For whosoever, for verily or truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room really believe that verse means exactly what it says? Okay. So if that verse means what it says, and I believe it means what it says, should you hide that verse in your heart today? When you leave here today, should that be part of your armor? Only part of your weapons? You got a weapon, right, Franz?
That's right.
The Word of God is the sword, right? And you cut the head of the devil off with that sword. A double-edged sword. You got to be ready with that thing. You got to be ready. You got to know it. I mean, you got to know it. You got to be able to claim it. Wow. You shall have whatsoever you say. Let's go to the next verse. 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what thing soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in dire need for something? And you had to have something. You had to have money, or you had to have something. Had to have a car fixed. Had to have something, house fixed. You needed a house to buy a house or something, and you're just beside yourself. And I come to you and I say, have you prayed about this yet? I'm going to be like Mike. The other day when his wife came out there and asked him what took so long putting that timing chain on that car, she said, Mike, what's taking so long? He said, honey, I can't get the pen out. She said, have you prayed about this yet? I'm a man. I can pull this pin out. I know how men are. I am what? I know exactly how we are. And something as simple as a pin, nobody needs to pray over pulling a pin out. Unless God's fixing to train you to do something. And then it don't come out, does it, Mike? It wouldn't come out. He tried everything. He broke the pliers and everything else, and he couldn't get it out. Supposed to be able to pull it out with his finger. When his little lovely bride kept saying, Mike, are we going to be here all night, or are you going to pray? Okay, I'll pray. Even in our rebellion. I can just see Mike, big old strong healthy man like him, can't pull that dinky little pin out. I can just see him thinking, what does this woman think I am? I know what I would be thinking if it was mine out there telling me what to do. What does she think? Who does she think I am? Don't she know I'm a man? I can pull that pin out of that thing. She's sitting there, honey, have you prayed? Have you prayed? Would you please go in the house? That's kind of the way we do things. Y'all know what I mean? But when God's trying to show us something, when he repented and he prayed, and he prayed a little arrogantly the way he did it here that day. He prayed a little arrogantly, but he went up, reached up to grab that pin, and that pin just fell out. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? If God is trying to train you to do something, listen. Pay attention. Because he's got a plan. And I can guarantee you that I don't know how much or whatever, but I guarantee that little episode between them two that night down there in that shop made a tremendous increase in Mike's and probably Gracie's too. Faith. It changed now what they pray for. whenever before, if you're going to do something that simple, who needs to pray over something that simple? I can do this, and that's not where you want to be. You don't want to be, I can do this. You want to say, Lord, I can't even take a breath without you. I can't pull that pin out without you. But with you, I know I can just pull that pin right out. And he says, as long as you know you're depending on me, I'll let that pin come out. And he did. He let that pen come out. Isn't that amazing? God, how he does things. But whatever you desire. So whatever your heart's desire, I don't care what it is, what you need, anything. If you're working on a pen on a timing belt, you're working on a car, a truck, putting a battery on your car, anything. I'm just throwing things, anything. It says, then whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received, and it shall be yours. So what should we pray about, Ms. Jackie?
Everything.
That's absolutely right. We should not let anything get by us as sons and daughters of God without praying. It's amazing. These are such simple principles. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How much clearer could he be? It's just so awesome. Then let's look at a couple of things that'll cause it not to work. Because if you look at these two verses, Mark 11, 23 and 24, it looks like under all conditions, you could ask for anything at any time and he'd do it for you every time 100% of the time, doesn't it? But let's see if that's true. There's two more verses that follow Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's see what the next one is. 20. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, what do you think he means there? And when you stand praying, do what?
Forgive.
But Lord, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know how mean he was to me. It doesn't matter. Surely you wouldn't expect me to forgive him or her more than one time a day.
490.
Oh, I don't want to talk to Kim. I mean, this is the way it really does work. 490 times a day you got to forgive. But people don't want to do that. I'm mad at my wife. I ain't going to forgive you. I can't believe she said that to me. I ain't never going to forgive her for that. How many times have we heard that, honey, with people we've ministered to? I just can't imagine people when it says you got these most powerful promises that you, what could you ask for, Miss Jackie? So that it didn't make it what their problem is. We got an answer to it right there, right? But now we say, but if you have a bitterness or an unforgiveness towards somebody, you got to forget. No. You don't understand. God would never expect me to do that. No, I ain't never going to forgive. Never. That old mean wicked woman, I ain't never going to forgive her for that. Have you ever heard people talk like that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, obviously, they don't know the word, do they?
Yes, we've all kind of.
Because if you got that wicked, bitter heart, God says, oh, whatever you desire, I'm not going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just wind up staying sick the rest of your life. And we don't like that, do we? No. I don't like that. You don't like that. Wow. Whatever. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. That's what he said, wasn't it? So you can't hold a grudge against nobody. That your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Wow. Next verse, 26. Every time you see a but if, you know you're in trouble. But if you do not forgive. Now, do some people do that?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Just like me and Cheryl talk. I have no idea. All I can say is I'm just like her. when we tell them they got to forgive, you don't understand what they did to me. You just don't understand. I will never forgive that man, or I'll never forgive that woman for what they did to me or my children. Never. Well, how long do you think they're going to be sick? A long time, unless it kills them. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So if God don't forgive you, now you notice that scripture that Dave went over under the benefit package in Psalm 103? He forgives how many of our iniquities? That it doesn't say that right there, but that's only if you ask and you repent. I mean, you got to say, Father, I need you to forgive me for all of my sins, and these are them. So now then, Lord, you say, if I confess all of my sins, I forgive John, Jack, Bob, Jerry, everybody. I forgive everybody. But if I forgive everybody, don't hold no grudges against nobody, don't make no difference what they did to me or to you or anything else, I'm forgiving them all. If I'm forgiving them all, then he says in Psalm 103, after we forgive all of our confessed sins, he forgives all of those iniquities. And then after we get forgiven for everything, how many diseases did he heal?
All.
So you see, there's a requirement there too. And what if you didn't forgive? Oh, yeah, you ain't going to get well. You ain't going to get your answer. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, we had a guy. I was talking about unforgiveness like this one time. And there was a young man came up after church. He said, Pastor, you're the only pastor I've ever met that would believe this story. I said, what happened? He said, you were talking about unforgiveness today and how God won't forgive you if you don't forgive? I said, yes, sir. That's written clearly in God's Word. I said, I am completely convinced if you do not forgive everybody from your heart, just like the Scripture says, God will not forgive you of your sin, and so you're going to be sick a long time. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, we had a woman named Mary. She was in our church in Croatia. Said she loved people and she loved to serve God. Said everybody loved her. But said her and this one woman got into a bitterness and she would not forgive that woman. Said the pastor talked to her, said, but Mary, you got to forgive Suzanne or whatever it was. She says, no, I will never forgive her. He said, we didn't know what you've learned about the Scripture, about not forgiving. So he said, Mary died. She never did forgive, but she died. So he said, after she died, said, we were having her service, and said, we had her casket in the sanctuary, and the pastor standing up there, and he says, at least one thing we do know for sure. We know where Mary is because she loved the Lord with all her heart, and we know she's in heaven with God. And he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, I was sitting right out there in the group, said, this woman that was in the casket, Mary, she sat up, had been dead for like 3 days, pointed her finger at Mary and said, he's lying. I'm in hell right now because I wouldn't forgive that woman. And she fell right back down in the casket, stone dead. He said, Thurman, I saw that with my own eyes. Is that what the Scripture says? But how many people do you think believe that? Most people don't believe that. But did he say, if you do not forgive everybody from your heart, neither will I forgive you? Is that what he said? That's scary, isn't it? Is there anything out there anybody worth going to hell for?
No.
I'd like to. If anybody thinks they'd like to sample hell, if you want to come in the kitchen, I'll light a fire under one of those pans in there and let it get, but it's just 5 minutes worth of heat. Then I'm going to put the tips of your finger down in there just for 1 second and see how you like it. I don't think you're going to like it at all. Do you, Miss Jackie?
No. We just had the air conditioner in here.
Do what?
We just had the air conditioner on in
here.
Amen.
We don't like heat at all, do we? So we sure wouldn't want to put our fingers in the tip of that fire, would we? So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this scripture, this whole Bible means exactly what it says. If you will forgive everybody from your heart, then these scriptures will work. I mean, when you come and ask God, Lord, move that mountain. Did you know He can move that mountain? If you believe with no doubt in your heart, He can move that mountain. I mean, just like whenever we started building this church, since we're fixing to come up on the 9th anniversary, when we started building this church, me and Eldon, as long as several other people, we got together and we prayed and asked God to show us exactly what we needed to do and how we needed to do it to be able to get this church up and running where we could be in it within 60 days. 60 days. We had a bare ground out here. And He did it. We put this church up and we had our first service in here in 60 days. It was amazing. But just like Cheryl said, whenever I put all this sheetrock and everything around here, I take a ladder and I blew all the stuff on the walls underneath here and underneath that. And I put that big tall ladder up against there and I got my bucket of mud and my air compressor and I'd crawl up there. I'd get at the very top and I'd start blowing across the top like this. One arm. Lord, thank you. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Because I'm telling you, for a man my age, of course, I'm fixed to be 78, so that means I was
72.
70. Oh, 9 years ago? No, 69. 69, okay.
My age.
I was your age. Wow. No wonder I was in such good shape. You know, I was Cheryl's age, 69, man. You can really get to going. If you believe you can do something, you can do it. Yeah, because I crawled up there. And if you think that's not heavy, take one of those buckets of mud, those big cone tapered things that you fill it up with mud, and then hold the ladder with one hand and hold the mud bucket with the other one and climb plumb to the top of that deal up there and then start blowing all the way down, come down the ladder as you come all the way down, come plumb to the floor and then fill your bucket up again and move over and do it again. And 6 hours later, you've not taken a drink or taken a nothing. Just worked. So, what can you do if you believe? If you speak to your body and tell your body, my body, you will not get tired. You will fulfill this chore in the name of Jesus. Your body will respond to your spoken words of faith. Did you notice what this young lady said there a while ago? Whenever that stuff would try to come back up on her, she would take authority over that thing. She'd repent of any sin and speak to that thing and command it, and it went away.
And no legal right no more.
No more. And you did that all with your mouth, your tongue, right? Did God say that we have been given this kind of power with our words? He does. Wow. Then I want you to go from here. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now I want you to go to 1 Peter 2:21-24. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Now wait a minute. You were called because Christ also suffered for us. He's leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. What does it mean to follow in the steps of somebody? It means to be just exactly like them, right? So Jesus is, you know, I was raised up in a church that taught me I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. And it's impossible for me to go through the day without sinning. And I used to believe that. But now I don't believe that no more. Jesus would never put something in this book that tell me that I'm supposed to follow in the steps of Jesus. And then the next verse, 22, let's see what that next verse says. Verse 22, who did no sin. Okay. If he says so clear right there, I'm to go through my life and I'm to look at the steps that Jesus completed, and I am to follow in those steps. And then he goes and tells me that Jesus committed how much sin?
Zero.
So if I'm supposed to follow in his footsteps, how much sin am I supposed to have? That's a new goal to shoot for. But, Miss Jackie, would he ever ask us to do something he didn't empower us to do?
He would never ask us.
No. We know he empowered us with the authority and power to do what he said, or he would never have told us to do it. He does not cut us short. I'm giving you power and authority. Now then, for some of you maybe that this is the first time you've ever been here to this church, have I taught anything that I didn't confirm with the written word of God today? Is it in the book? Isn't that amazing? Now you want to know why this little girl got healed? Now you know why she got healed, right? I'm teaching the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, when I promised her, I didn't care what was wrong with her. If she'd just repent and do what God says, I guarantee God would heal her. And what did he do? He healed her, sure. But he does that to people all over the place. Many of you in this room have been healed. Have you not, Mike? And you've prayed for other people, and others got healed. Jesus would never ask us to do something that he doesn't give us the empowerment to do. But he says, for who did no sin. Now, you need to meditate on that this week. Every time you start to do something and your wife or your husband gets all blowed out of shape because you didn't do something or whatever, and I know that happens to everybody. You know, you have those kind of days. There's some days I'm sure that, Cheryl, don't say anything to me, but I'm sure there's some days she'd like to just cut my head off and throw me in the trash. Oh, she prays for me, she says. Okay. She makes me feel good. She prays for me. Let me just ask this question. How many of you have had a mate that you wanted at one time or another to cut their head off and throw them in the trash? We all have had those kind of days, have we not? When your mate does something you don't like, you don't like it. And so that's just the way life is. But who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I mean, the only way I could have no guile ever come out of my mouth is I'd have to have a double layer of 2-inch black duct tape, triple pass. Put it around 3 times, Nate. That's what I'd have to do. But most of you that are laughing, you're just like me, so that's why you're laughing. You know how difficult it is to be careful what you say. Let's go to the next verse 3. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, that's where they really get you. Oh, you can handle it pretty good until you start suffering. When you have to suffer, oh my goodness, Lord, this is too much. He threatened not. Have you ever heard anybody say, okay, I'm going to forgive you for that, but don't you ever do that again. You've heard that, haven't you? You probably have said that yourself, just like all the rest of us. You know, isn't it a good thing that God forgives us when we ask him to? We're in big trouble if we don't have a God that will forgive us. But this is one of Cheryl's favorite verses. This part here says, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. So that's the best way in the world to do it, is just turn the person you're dealing with over to the Father in the name of Jesus and let him deal with it. And then you don't have to worry about getting in trouble. That way you can just say, Lord, I forgive him, and here he is, or here her she is, or whatever, I turn her over to you. And then verse 24, let's see what the consequences or the results is. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Think about this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, if you read that in the context like it's written, if you've done everything down the list, starting with verse 21, you forgave. You're walking in obedience to God's word. I mean, you are purifying yourself from all evil. No sin. You're not living in no kind of known sin. You're walking holy before the Lord. You know you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You know because of what he done for you. You know that. And then you realize that he died, that you should live unto righteousness. And since he did die and you're living righteously, then he says, by whose stripes you were healed. So when you're doing all those things, he said, when you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, how many of your healings is yours? All of them. That's absolutely right. That's right there is where he heals all of your diseases. It's amazing when you really look at this in the text that it's written, that he died for you. He paid the price for you. He bore your sickness and removed your disease so that you can realize that he is dead to sin and you're dead to sin and you're not going to sin anymore. You're going to walk holy. Then if you do all of those things that he told you, realizing I am the righteousness of God in Christ, healing belongs to me and my children. And he says there, by whose stripes you were healed. Isn't that amazing? So do we have to be sick? No, you don't have to be sick. You only be sick if you want to be sick. Sin, that's the issue. You want to get rid of sin. When you get rid of sin, just like he says up there, Psalm 103, whenever you confess your sin, he forgives how many of them? All of them you confess. What if you leave out a couple? Then it's not automatically added in. You got to make sure that you get that sin and you confess it. And then after you do that, then you're healed. All you got to do is claim it. Wow. Is that a powerful set of verses we just read over? I mean, so how many people should be healed if you're a Christian? All of us. Every one of us. There should be no sick Christians. We should all realize that he bore our sickness. He removed our disease, and we're going to repent of all sin, and we're going to claim the promises of God. And when we go home today, we ain't going to be healed. Just like that young lady that got up here and gave her testimony a while ago, all she had to do is believe and receive what God had already done. And he'd done that for her years ago, and she didn't know it. But she knows it now. And she's going to walk in divine health. So if you got a sickness today, when we pray for you, I want my prayer team members to stand up. Everywhere I got a prayer team member, y'all stand up. And then you see these people that are standing up, you know, go to one of them. And we work in teams. And so when you go to one of those prayer warriors, they will go over things with you, making sure that you have repented of all sin, because you need to get rid of sin. When you get rid of sin, then we will pray for you. We'll break the curse over you. We'll pray the prayer of faith for you. And I guarantee if you'll do what God says, he will heal every one of you. Is that right, Scott?
Yes.
Everyone. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everybody that came today that needs a healing. I thank you to give us the knowledge and wisdom and revelation and understanding that we need, that we can touch these people's hearts and minds with our prayer teams. And may your Holy Spirit step in there and heal everybody that needs to be healed. Because, Lord, you said in your word, you forgive all of our iniquities and you heal all of our diseases. So, Lord, we come to be healed today, and we're going to trust you that you're going to do a great work in everybody's life. And then they're going to go from here and they're going to be healed. And they're going to be just like the little lady was from Kansas. She goes everywhere and tells everybody what you did for her. And so, Lord, we thank you for doing that for all the others that's here today. And bless her and continue to bless her. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.